Matthew 16. I'll let you get your fingers free there, and if you'll hold your spot for just a moment, and we'll make our confession together. Matthew chapter 16. I want to, I don't know, are we streaming? Oh, we're up? Okay. Just real quick, I'll make an announcement. If you go onto our website, it's just the initials of the church, CLM, and the word family, CLMFAMILY.org. There are different resources. Usually I work every week on a little outline that I put as a, I guess you call it a blog. I'm not really sure all the technicalities about that. But I printed off a copy just so you have an idea. It has like an outline of the message from each Sunday and maybe some follow-up questions. So if you want to just check it out, you know, on your phone or app or computer, whatever, on your own, or, you know, with somebody, maybe print it and go over it with someone. I just want you to know it's available. So just please take advantage of that. Try to keep upcoming events on there as well. So again, I try to do that every week. So if it's a blessing to you, and in fact, if you have any, I'd like to get your input for, especially for those who are not here in person, any suggestions, ideas, questions, please email me. There's an email link on the website there, and I would love to get your input. All right. Matthew chapter 16, would you join me as we make our confession together and confess our confidence in the Lord, His Spirit to speak to us through His Word? Aren't you thankful for God's Word and Spirit today? Thank God for the resources He has blessed us with. We don't have to go through this life alone and without His presence and His direction to us through His Word and leading of His Spirit. All right, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. That sounds great. That gets me going with the worship there. Today, I wanted to conclude a three-part series on repairing the foundations. And before I read the words of Jesus here in Matthew 16, just again, we've been kind of using a theme scripture every week in Psalms 11. So we just put it on the screen, and you can follow along. Then we'll read the scripture here in Matthew. But Psalms chapter 11, just the first four verses there. So again, if you follow along, reading from the New Living Translation here. This is like the New King James we typically use as a word-for-word translation. The New Living is a thought-for-thought. So it might be worded a little different. That's okay with me as long as the message is clear and it doesn't distort the meaning at all, okay? So he says this, Psalms 11, 1, I trust in the Lord for protection. Thank God. So why do you say to me, and this is what people were saying to David, fly like a bird to the mountains for safety. You better hurry up and get away. Because the wicked are stringing their bows. They're fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows at those whose hearts are upright or right. Verse 3, the foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? We've been focusing on what the righteous can do, but I want to read one more verse because I thank God it's in the scripture because it helps me to keep things in perspective, helps me to see the true, fuller picture rather than just all the mess that's going on right here. Verse 4 says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everyone closely, examining every person on earth. Now, to say that the Lord still rules does not mean that everything that happens in this life God ordained and wanted. It just simply means He's still overriding, and when it's all said and done, His will prevail. So when the foundations of law and order, one translation says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And by God's grace, the righteous can repair the foundations. The righteous can repair the foundations. Last 2 weeks, we've looked at the foundation of marriage and family, and then government, and then today, the church. So these three institutions God ordained, He founded. He made them like foundations in which we can thrive in a society. They're good. They're necessary. Now, does every marriage and family honor God? Does every government honor God? Does every church? No. But that's why we need to repair the foundations. And thank God he's given us his word, a blueprint. He says, if you will do it my way, you can have my blessings. You'll be like a wise man or a wise woman building a house on a rock, the solid foundation. The storms will still come, but your house will stand because it's founded on a rock. So there is, again, he says, if the foundations are destroyed or when they're being attacked and damaged, what can the righteous do? The righteous can repair the foundations. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, is with his disciples, and he says in verse 13, he asks, as they come into this area, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, and he purposely waited there because there is a specific spot in that city. If you go toward the Holy Land, you'll see, and some of you have been there, of why he would ask this question in that location. So he says to his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He says, who are people saying I am? Verse 14, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he says, but now who do you say I am? You, my followers, who do you say I am? And Peter, he tend to be the spokesman for the group. He says, Simon Peter answered, said, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next verse in verse 17 says, Jesus answered and said to him, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah. Notice, please, this is so important. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Let me pause there just a second, because salvation cannot be accomplished without God's help and grace. It is a supernatural work of God's Spirit. I'm not trying to put any of this down. It can all have its place. But if all we do is repeat a prayer, if all we do is raise our hand or join a church or walk an aisle or get wet in the baptistry tank, those things do not transform our heart. It has to be the drawing of God and the transformation of God's Holy Spirit. Anyone can say Jesus is Messiah and Lord with their mouth, but it takes a revelation of God's Spirit to make it real in someone's heart where it impacts and is life-changing. So he says, flesh and blood, you didn't learn that intellectually. Some human didn't teach you. This was a divine revelation of my Father. And then based on that revelation of who Christ is, he goes on and he says in verse 18, now that you know who I am, let me tell you who you are in me. He says in verse 18, I say to you that you are Peter. Now, I'm going to give you just a little something here. I'm no Greek expert, okay? But he says, in the Greek language, you are Petros. You're a stone. You're a little rock here, okay? And then he goes on and he says, so you're a stone or you're a rock, and on this Petra, on this massive stone, on this massive foundation, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus said he will build his church. This is so important. Over the last maybe year or maybe a little bit longer, this scripture has come to mean so much to me because I realize if I really want to know who I am in Christ, I must first understand who Jesus, the Christ, is, and then begin to see myself. If we see ourselves, brothers and sisters, as who we are in Christ, we will know that our prayers can make a difference. We will know that we do not have to live every day of this life defeated, dejected, down, despair, just, you know, with no hope, with just can't wait to hardly get to heaven. Yes, we want to get to heaven, but we can live this life as more than conquerors, not because we're so good or strong, but because Jesus is so good and strong. And he says, if you really come to a revelation of who I am, then you can come to a full understanding of the truth of who you are in me. You are more than a conqueror. I'm going to use that confession. My Father revealed to you that I am the Messiah, and on that rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades, there's a location there in Caesarea Philippi. It's a cave with a huge opening. You can still see like niches in the carved into the mountains where little gods or idols were placed there, and it's called the gates of Hades. And in that place, Jesus asked this question, And when they responded, he said, I'm telling you, because gates all throughout Scripture represent like a city hall. It's where official transactions of business took place. So he was in essence, in fact, some translations say, on this revelation, on this rock, I'm going to build my church and the forces of hell will not conquer it. The powers of hell will not prevail against it. They will not overcome it. The church of Jesus Christ is a victorious church. I want to ask you to turn to the next to last book of the Bible, the book of Jude. If you hold your spot there just a moment, I want to read you a couple verses from Daniel just as you're turning. Again, if you hold your spot there, last book of the Bible, just one chapter is Jude. But along that line of what Jesus said, my church will prevail. My church is going to overcome and conquer. You know, the Lord has never done anything as a loser. He's a champion, and he has already won. But the Bible prophesied that. It's like God allowed Daniel to see this vision in Daniel chapter 7. And two verses here, verses 13 and 14. We'll put them on the screen if you want to follow along. He says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. He was coming with the clouds of heaven. That's how he's coming back. It says, he came to the Ancient of Days. He's the Father. And they brought him, this Son, near the Father. And verse 14 says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion or his reign is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. His church is victorious. His people are victorious. His kingdom will expand and it will last forever. And there is nothing the devil fights and he opposes, but he cannot stop and conquer the church. So, from day one, from the early church, we read about it in Scripture. Until the time that Jesus returns, the church has been and will be attacked. The church is attacked from within by compromise with evil and false doctrine. The church is attacked from without by persecution. But Jesus ultimately will make sure that his true church is victorious. So just two ways this morning of how we can repair. Yes, the church has been damaged. We've seen attacks from the outside of the church. We've seen those inside of the church who don't even believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of the living God. They don't know whether he sinned or not. They don't know if this book that we call a scripture, they don't know if it's inspired or not. So they take away all authority, and all you have is empty, lifeless, dead religion. So how do we repair? Number one, brothers and sisters, we must contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. And I'll read these just first four verses of Jude chapter 1. Jude was one of Jesus' half-brothers, along with James. Jesus had four that we know of in Scripture, and he had at least two sisters. So this is one of Jesus. He was a half-brother. They had the same mom, but he was a follower of Jesus. The Bible says in Jude, listen how he describes himself here, Jude, that opening verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus. He wasn't throwing any titles or, hey, I'm a brother. Or, you know, he was just saying, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. He says, to those who are called, set apart, that's sanctified by God, and preserved. If you know Jesus, you're preserved this morning. Aren't you glad you're preserved? Verse 2, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Loved ones, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I wanted to write to you about something we share in our faith, but I found it necessary. I had to write and exhort you to contend earnestly. Contend earnestly. Would you say that with me? Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Verse 4, and again, this is 2,000 years ago. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn or they try to twist the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That pattern is still going, brothers and sisters. Some would take the precious, powerful, undeserved grace of God and turn it into a license to live any way we want. That is not God's grace. God's grace is, yes, we don't deserve this. We don't, there's no way we could ever earn it, but God has freely given us favor, and not only favor to bring us into His good will and salvation, but divine empowerment to do His will. For sin shall not have dominion over us, for we are not under law, but under grace. Grace can help us do what flesh can never help us do. So let's be aware. Yes, thank God. We fall at times, and that's mercy. Thank God He doesn't give us what we deserve. He judged Jesus at the cross and punished Him for our sin. Are there consequences to sin? Yes. But thank God for mercy, and thank God for grace. So contend for the faith. And you and I know, if you've been saved for longer, like 5 minutes, probably, we are in a spiritual battle. And we are in a battle against, Ephesians 6 describes them as spirits of wickedness. Spirits of wickedness, darkness, deception, and lies. And the Bible says that Satan wants to deceive the whole world to lead us astray. That's what I'm saying. That's one of the ways he attacks the church, is to get us deceived. Because we base our actions on what we perceive. See, wrong believing leads to wrong living. So if we hear and believe something that's false, we will either be basically fruitless or useless, or we'll just get into sin because we're believing a lie. So it's important that we always keep ourselves in that place of hearing the truth of God's word, so that our perception is accurate, so that we live according to God's will. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus spoke to 7 churches directly, and that was one recurring theme, is that the church, you see it, the church was attacked from without, attacked from within by compromise, persecution, all of the various forms. But he said to everyone, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, because we have to hear truth. Right believing leads to right living. So contend for the faith. And God has given us the full armor. He says we've got to stand against the schemes and strategies of our adversary to make us fall. And we stand with the full armor of God. And the first piece of that armor listed in Ephesians 6 is the truth. Like a belt to go around our waist to attach to other equipment. God will help us stand by grace. He will help us stand in faith. But we have a part to play to put on what He has given to us. So to contend for the faith. The Bible says this in verse 17 there, Jude chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons. They cause divisions, and they do not have God's Spirit. We are still living in that day. We are in that day when, if we're going to stand for Jesus, we all have to come to that place, I believe, where we say, Father, by your grace, I'm going to be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. And if we make that commitment and by God's grace seek to walk it out, we'll only do it with God's help. But if we will do that every day, you can, I'll just say it this way. Please don't be surprised if not everyone applauds you. Because some will mock us. They will try to censure us and silence us because they don't want to hear truth, even if and when it's spoken in love. Now, may God help us to never just come across like we're some arrogant, condescending know-it-alls. And there are times when believers can do so, and it turns people away rather than draws them to Jesus. So we don't want to, that's not our heart. We want to reach people. But I would say this, some may mock, some may try to get us to shut us up or whatever. I would just say, by God's grace, let's be a humble but courageous voice of righteousness and reason in this generation. By God's grace, a humble but courageous voice of righteousness and a voice of reason in this generation. When I just off the wall, mouthing some Christian, whatever, that really doesn't mean anything to anyone else. No, we think God uses our brain, but he uses our heart and spirit too. And so we contend for the faith that was earnestly, that was once for all delivered to the saints. Brothers and sisters, let's stand for Christian faith. Let's stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how do we repair? Contend for the faith, and second, care for the people. Contend for the faith and care for the people. Again, just to stay there in Jude, I'll pick up in verse 20. Jude, verse 20. He writes these words, "But you, beloved, loved ones," isn't it nice to know you're loved? "Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." That did not say live in such a way so God will love you. You're already loved, but he's saying keep yourselves in that place of walking in the full blessing of God's love. And how do we do that? He goes on, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fires," like you're almost rescuing people from the flames of judgment, "hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." The word care means mercy and kindness. It's to show mercy to people. It's to show kindness to others. I would define Christianity like this if it came down to like just a simple thought. Does it mean believing this or believing that or going to church three times a week? You know, what is actual, when it comes down, what is Christianity at its core? In my perspective, to my heart and thinking, Christianity is this. It's receiving the love and life of God in us and then letting his life and love flow through us back to God and others. That is the Christian life. If we get away, like I said, if we get away from God's truth and God's love, we are left with nothing but empty, lifeless, dead, fruitless, good-for-nothing religion. And all we have is a religious social club where we come in and we're kind of these spiritual elites and we're not caring about anyone else because we're so focused on ourselves. The church must never become just an exclusive social club. The church of Jesus must represent the heart of Jesus, that yes, we care for our brothers and sisters because we're family, but we care for those who don't yet know God as well. And we love them and we want to reach out to them. The Bible says this, if you just hold your spot there in Jude, I want to read you two verses. This is Jesus speaking to one of his churches in Revelation 2 and verses 4 and 5. Again, I want to read it from that New Living Translation, Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, "But I have this complaint against you." He was telling them a lot of good things the church was doing. But he said, "But you don't love me or each other as you did at first." Verse 5, "Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches." May the Lord help us to be a bright, shining lampstand in this community and in this world, in this generation. And that's not just Calvary's Love Ministries, his church, his people all across the world, wherever we may be. Contend for the faith, care for the people. Would you say that with me? Contend for the faith, care for the people. Again, the scripture here in Jude verse 20 says, build in yourselves up on your most holy faith. There's a place where, in fact, we are responsible. As followers of Jesus, we are responsible to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. I cannot blame you for my spiritual state. I'm responsible to grow in the Lord and to grow in Christ's likeness. Brothers and sisters, we are responsible to build each other up too. That's why it just does away with this kind of like somewhat of the American Western mentality of church that just says, well, I can watch it and I'm getting fed and I'm okay. That's not what the Lord's heart. The Lord's heart is we're in this together, and it's not just about me. I'm a part of it, but it's about you as my brother and sister too. And when I serve and bless and encourage you as my brother and sister, somehow it'll come back to bless and encourage me. That's just how God's kingdom operates. So he's, in fact, one translation says, build each other up on your most holy faith. I want to ask you a question, and not for you to say anything out loud, just between you and God. Is your allegiance this morning to Jesus and God's truth, to God's word? Is your heart to be true to him? I know we all have our human weakness, but is your allegiance, is your heart there? Do you want to follow Jesus with your whole heart? Do you want to be true to God's word as revealed in Scripture? And I believe this, if you and I do, if that really is our heart, there is no difference that we cannot overcome. There is no disagreement that we can't come together and sit down and talk about and work through if we really have a heart to please God and are committed to his word. And that can be husband and wife. It can be different denominations, different races, ethnicities, generations, whatever it may be. If we're willing, now it's going to take, I believe it'll take love, it will take humility, and it will take work. But if we're willing, God can work it out. He will use us to bring us to that place. And don't you know, if we're in that one accord, Jesus said we'll be more effective as his representatives, as the church in this world. Just if you stay right there where you are, I'll close just a moment. I'll close just two verses, but I want to read you something from Jesus' prayer in John 17. It fits so appropriately, I believe, here. John chapter 17, Jesus says these words. He's praying, and he prays in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone. In other words, the disciples who were right there with him at that night as he was heading to the garden to be betrayed and arrested. He says, but I'm also praying for those who will believe in me through their word. That would be us. He says, I'm praying that they all may be one. Father, as you are in me, I'm in you, that they also may be one in us. Why? That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, notice please, I have given them. Jesus has given the church his glory. That's a powerful revelation. He says, I have given them this glory that you gave me. Why? That they may be one just as we are one. And then verse 23, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. In Christ, we are as loved by the Father as he loves his Son. Now, my mind has trouble with that, but my heart and spirit believe it because it came from the lips of my Lord and Savior. And he doesn't have any deception. He spoke truth, and it is truth. And so I want to walk in that. I want to look at it like in our marriages, our families, in the body of Christ, Jesus has given us his glory. Let's believe God and let's promote his glory by seeking to come together in one accord, not sweeping stuff under the rug that we don't have to deal with. It's uncomfortable. Let's bring it out, but let's bring it out because we care enough and we love each other enough that we don't want anything between us. And be an effective church. The church is a body, the scripture says. And I wonder if sometimes the Lord sees his church as disjointed. We had the bones over here and this part over here and that part, but we haven't always made good connections as the body. But if we could come together and strengthen those connections where we can get a better flow, like the psalm talks about how it flowed down from the head of Aaron over his garment and down, it would produce life, the blessing of life evermore. As that anointing flows from God's Spirit, from Jesus, the head, down through his body, it can go out and touch the world. It can flow through his body to bring healing and wholeness and deliverance and wellness and strength and victory and power. And it can touch a generation who needs the grace and love of God. Contend for the faith and care for the people. And when I say care for the people, I mean, let's be genuinely concerned. Let's love people. They'll be able to know if we're putting on some religious show or not. Just care enough to be involved and reach out. I know people can get on our nerves. Christians get on our nerves. But the unbelievers can get on nerves because sometimes they're the ones persecuting and they're the ones mocking and ridiculing and making fun. And I understand. But brothers and sisters, they are not our real enemy. We know who our real adversary is. I know, hey, I'm human. I have the emotion. I get the temptation and the quick. So by God's grace, may he help us to remember they are not the enemy. They might be lost, but they're not the adversary. We know who our adversary is. They just need to be loved and rescued just like we did. God will have to strive no harder. It will take no more grace, I don't believe, to reach anyone else than it took to reach me. We've all sinned and fallen short. Let's try to remember that. Jimmy Evans says, want people more than the devil wants them. Want people more than the devil wants them. Jesus says, I will build my church. How is he building his church? How? How is he building his church? He's building his church through those who know and follow him. He's building his church through us if we know him. And humanly, I know it seems like, it will look like, let's just be honest, it will look like at times that the church is defeated. But our victory has already been secured. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the forces of darkness, the powers of hell will not prevail and overcome my church. So we can be gate takers. I really believe this. Through prayer and the power of the gospel, we can see strongholds broken. We can see addicts set free. We can see marriages and families healed. We can see relationships restored. We can see God move over these institutions of marriage and family and government and the church. We can see people come to Jesus because we can storm the gates with prayer and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where are the strongholds in this community? Where are the strongholds in this nation and city? Let's be gate attackers and gate takers in the name of Jesus. Contend for the faith, care for the people. Jude, the last two verses, verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Think about that, please. The blood of Jesus has such cleansing power that if we know him, we will stand before God one day like we never sinned. Now, we will give an account of how we lived in relation to our rewards and place in eternity, but we will not stand and give account for sins that the blood of Jesus has already washed away. Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm going to be happy when I stand before this holy God. He's going to have joy too to say, look what my son did for you. Look what his blood did. Look what my grace did in you. And I'm going to say, enjoy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit. Verse 25, to God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen. Daniel chapter 7, if you want to write the reference down, it just so, again, it fits from that same chapter. If you want to write these verses down, Daniel 7, 25 through 27. And this one who is coming is he's pictured as a horn, this ruler. He's going to speak pompous words against the Most High, and he shall persecute the saints of the Most High. That Hebrew word persecute literally means to wear out. Do you ever feel like the devil's just trying to wear you out? Spiritually, emotionally, every way, physically. He says in that last part of that verse that it says that he says he'll try to persecute the saints of the Most High, and he'll intend to change times and law, and the saints shall be given into his hand for just a time. A time, times, and half a time. That's what I'm saying. It'll look like we're losing at times, but the scripture doesn't end there. Verse 26, but the court shall be seated. In other words, the Ancient of Days is coming in. All rise, the court is now in session. And he says, they shall take away his dominion, this false one, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom, the reign, and the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, by God's grace, will you contend for the faith, and will you care for the people, and let God use you to reach people in this generation? Amen. Yes. That's the gates of Hades right there. That's that place in Caesarea Philippi, where if you go over there, you'll see that's where Jesus made this announcement. Just think about that. Think about that. And think about the victory Jesus purchased for us. Repair the foundations, contend for the faith, care for the people. Can we stand together? We'll close in prayer.